chapter 1, verse number 22, down through 25. You're able to stand, look there in that chapter. In the book of James, in chapter number 1, verse 22, down through 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's a very simple thing to be able to look at. You don't know how to, if you don't know how to read Hebrew and Greek, that's fine. This is simple third grade English. If you hear the word of the Lord and you're not a doer of the word of the Lord, you're deceiving nobody but yourself. That's what it says. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Or something like a mirror, something that shows your reflection. And he says, for he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, Father, we ask your blessings on the reading of thy word. We do thank you for the good singing tonight. We pray that now you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. May, Lord, every man, woman, boy, and girl, may we have you speak to our heart, and we'll thank you in advance for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight. We mentioned it this morning briefly, but I want to preach a sermon entitled, Actions Speak Louder Than Words. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you'll find talk is cheap. Did you ever notice that? I know people, buddy, can talk a mile of religion. They can't walk one inch with God. In this lesson you're looking at, let me tell you, the old King James Bible, it'll show you ourselves like God really sees us, and there won't be any flattery involved in it. That's the reason why it's hated so bad. It's like that little old cartoon I've got somewhere in my repertoire, and there's a man in a bookstore, and he's pointing up at all those shelves of books. Said, I just wondered, have you got a Bible in here anywhere that ain't so hard to live by? That's where we're at in America, isn't it? Now, I realize, you know, that I'm preaching to the choir, but, I mean, for the most part, that's the kind of people that we're having to deal with. I want to say, number one, we're going to talk about real faith for a moment. Did you know that the Bible said that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord? Do you realize and know that those who hear the word, those that believe the word, those that act upon the word, have received the word of the Lord into their heart? These are the people that it'll make a difference in their heart and their life. I'm not talking about making a trip down the aisle and getting in the baptistry and your name on the church roll. You know what young religionists that make a childhood profession, you know what they do? I'll tell you what they do when they get grown. They run from Bible preaching as hard as they possibly can. They're not coming into where they already know it's going to get pretty salty, or where it's going to get pretty plain, or where it's going to get down to where the rubber meets the road. They're going to try to do something else religiously to make themselves feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. You know, in the day and hour we're living in is that we find a lot of people that are going to be drawing back. The closer the coming to the Lord, the more people you're going to find that are going to be drawing back. And let me tell you, if you're not a real child of God, you're going to be one of them. But you'll find out that over there in the book of Matthew, don't turn there, but in chapter 23 and about verse number 3, Jesus was talking, and whenever he talked about the Pharisees and all that, he said, I want you to observe when they say something, but don't do after what they're doing, because they say and they do not. They're not practicing what they're saying. And it's not what they were saying that was wrong particularly. It's what they were doing that was wrong particularly. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that number two is we're looking in the glass. That's a mirror. That's a reflection, if you will. You know, when I look into the Bible, and I can see a whole lot wrong with many of you. And then when God smites my heart and opens my eyes, I can't see any of you, but I can see the reflection of what I really am. See? in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you begin to recognize and you realize and know that, is that you find is that when you look in the mirror and it reflects back, what are you seeing? Are you seeing a child of God that's been converted? Are you seeing somebody that hears the word but don't do it, or hears the word and is a doer of it? See? That's the idea that is given here. Look in verse number 18 of that same chapter that's there, when it says in James 1:18, of his own will beget us with the word of truth. Look at that. That we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let me tell you, when you got saved and I got saved, it was by the will of God. It's because of the word of God. And make no mistake about it, it's a changed life that God gives you, and he'll change your life. Not only for now, but for all eternity. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, that's the reason why that he goes on and points it out the way that it is. Whatever he says, if you are a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, you're deceiving your own self. See, a doer of the word, not hearers only. That's the idea that's here. Somebody that heard the word, God opened their eyes of understanding. They came to know him in the free pardon of sin. They're involved in the work of God. Now, do you know, whenever you got saved and I got saved, it changed your life and made a new creature out of you in Christ. You know, there's a passage over there in the book of Exodus, I believe it's in chapter number 20, it's about verse number 7, that said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I've got some kinfolks, and you've got some kinfolk that use God's name in vain as though it was a household word. And the Bible said, he that doeth so shall not be found guilty. You've got a problem deeper than the surface. I don't care how mad you are. I've been mad enough to slit people's throat. I never have slit one. I've been mad enough, you know, to want to go ahead and take care of business yourself or myself. I haven't done it. I don't want to. But I can tell you what I get out of all the anger, out of all the frustration, I have not been a taker of God's name in vain. I may say something that you wouldn't want to step in and get on your shoe, and that won't be very often. I'm going to tell you something. That's a little different, friend. You just go ahead and just plain old jesting, cussing, whatever's going on, and taking God's name in vain. He that taketh the name of God in vain. And I'm sure we don't have any problem with that. Anybody here doing that? If you do, you don't do it around me, but God hears it wherever you're doing it. See? I used to have a cousin that was alive. Now he's not, naturally. And of course, you know, his excuse was whenever he would get mad and show his behind or this and that, mainly with his wife. Then his excuse was out like this right here. Well, I'm sorry, but I was feeling bad. Is that a good excuse or not? I mean, you want to act and show your behind just because of the fact you're not feeling good? I'm not feeling real good tonight. I never have a headache, and I've got one, and I thought to myself, Lord, I hope this is not going to be another stroke coming on. But if it is, y'all, somebody pick this book up and continue on the message with it while they run me to the doctor. I said to you, when you look into it, is that if a man is a doer of the work, after he's been a hearer of the word, then this man will be blessed in his deed. I want you to notice another thing in this lesson that we've read tonight. And the Bible said, those that continue with therein. Now, when you begin to look into it, you begin to find, it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to do it and to act upon it. In this lesson you're looking at, the Bible said in James chapter 1 and verse number 25 that the man that hears and does, this man will be blessed in his deed. Isn't that something? In other words, you want God to bless your life? Well, then you better act on what God said and to be a hearer of it and a doer of it. And God said you'll be a blessed person in your deed. Over there in the book of Luke, and you didn't have to turn there either, But you do need to turn to 2 Thessalonians. But over there in the book of Luke, in chapter number 18, it's about verse number 8. I'll give you the idea of that while we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But over there in the book of Luke, chapter number 18, about verse number 18, the question is asked, and nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? I heard on the news this week, I've been listening to it in all year long, and I remember whenever they said, you know, they said now that only 51% of Americans really believe that religion is worthwhile and necessary. Then a few months after that, it was only 40-something percent. This morning, whenever I caught it, or last night, what, I can't remember, but here's what I do remember, 28% in America. It's getting down to where the rubber meets the road, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh. I know people, I've looked around, I've seen people that were used to be on the firing line right here in this church house, and today they're not doing nothing. They left here, and if you can improve yourself by leaving here, by all means, do it. But when you leave here and then you're just living a life like a wild ass's colt with no restraint, with no curbing, and with absolutely no tolerance and no reverence toward God, something's wrong with that. I pass people coming to church, and you know, here's the deal right here. I've never been able to get a hold of it, and if you're doing that, I don't care. I hadn't seen you yet, but people putting that spandex on, you know, as tight as it can, and they're pulling it up, and you see all their old junk, and see all their old, their behind, and they're riding and got that little old helmet they turned around backwards, and they're riding on top of a bicycle, and they look like a constipated monkey. If I were to want you to dress like that and made it mandatory to come to church, you absolutely would think I'd lost my mind. I lost a few bicycle riders over that very same thing. And I'm not just talking about one or two. I've lost several of them in days gone by. Some of these boys are looking at me funny. In this lesson that you're looking at, I'm going to tell you, is that I've seen people, and you can always tell it, they'll go to missing a little here, missing a little there, then it ain't long till it's a lot here and it's a lot there, and it's just amazing how important everything else in the world is besides church and the Word of God and your family. That's amazing. But foolish people that we are in this world that we're living in. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at here tonight, this Bible said that whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, this man is blessed in his deed. Continuing. He doesn't start out and fizzle out. He continues. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter number 2, it's about verse number 3 is the passage. The Bible said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I want you to be turning to the book of Colossians, and we're going to be looking there in a moment. I want to say to you that in the last day, there's going to be a great falling away. People that you used to see sing for Jesus, now they don't. People that used to preach for the Lord, now they don't. People that used to come to church, now they don't. They just got to where they was here a little gone, there a little gone, now they're gone. This day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, if you go to running with the wrong kind of crowd, and if you're out there and you've got a job, you've got some of the wrong kind of crowd you're having to work shoulder to shoulder with. Now, I realize that, oh, we're in the world, but not of it. But when the Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners, it won't be long down the road. When you spend more time with that God cussing, heathen, God denying, God defying, non-church going heathen crowd, when you spend more time with them than you do the people of the household of faith, it won't be long. You'll look like them, you'll act like them, you'll think like them, you'll do like them, and you'll forget all about the word of the Lord. In this lesson that you're looking at over in Colossians chapter number 1, about verse number 20, and the Bible said, having made peace through the blood of his cross, he says, by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I can tell you what, whenever you get washed by the blood and the peace of God that passeth all understanding now is in your heart as a product of a divine thing that God's given you, I can tell you it don't matter if you're here on this earth or you're in heaven, it'll change your heart, your life, and your mind. But look in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In other words, God saved us and changed our heart, changed our life, changed our mind. Verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Now watch this. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached by every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In other words, here's what he's saying, is that you'll find out that while we used to be enemies of God in our mind, he's now changed our mind, he's changed our life, he's changed our heart, he saved our soul, and gave us a peace that passeth all understanding. This Bible said over in the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10, about verse number 38 and 9, he said, there's a crowd that's over there. And he said, they've drawn back. But he said, we're not of them that drawn back, but we're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, in closing, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, and I want to show you a passage as we get ready to close up there. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. He's made a change in our lives that others can see. In the book of Luke, chapter number 22 and verse number 32, here's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to a man by the name of Simon Peter. Simon Peter, as a result, in verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now watch this here. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. I want to say to you that if you will, the day I got saved, the day you got saved, we've got somebody that's in the divine sense, the Son of the living God, God incarnate in human flesh, he's been praying for us. And you know what the holy restraint is? It's him and praying in my behalf. Now, did Simon Peter go ahead and cuss and swear that all that he didn't know him? Sure he did. It didn't say anything about him taking his God's name in vain, although he was cursing and swearing and saying what he ought not to. Here's what I do know, is that the Lord will never let you go so far as to where that you look like nothing but a heathen to who laid the chunk. And the reason being is he's prayed for you and he's never had a prayer that did not go answered. Next time the temptation arises with you, how about just leaning on the Lord? Lord, help me and pray for me now. We don't mind calling up people and getting them to pray for us, and that's good. I'm not knocking that. But you may get off sometime you hadn't got a signal. You're already mad. You're already wanting to cuss. And now you can't get a signal when you need it the most. You may have to just sooner or later lean over and say, Lord, pray for me. Pray for me. He's already been praying for us. I don't know about you, but sometimes our actions, they just speak a lot louder than our words. And I'm glad we've got his word that we can lean upon. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Our Father, we want to thank you now that during this July the 4th weekend that we've got, and all this is coming up, Lord, we pray you'd build a hedge about us. Yes. I pray you'd guard our hearts and our minds. We thank you for those you've saved and others that you shall. Bless, I pray now, the reward to the remainder of this day. And Lord, bring us back safely.